This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
This morning on WCHL, residents of Gateway Village have been voicing frustrations over delays in getting their utility subsidies. Community leaders in Pittsburgh are rallying together to help out a family after they suffered a major loss early this month. And UNC settled the lawsuit with learning specialist Mary Willingham for $335,000, WCHL has confirmed. And a special announcement coming up from Lee Storo. These stories and a lot more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports this morning, it's not only the Carolina men's team that will be trying to make a run in the NCAA tournament. Hall of Fame coach Sylvia Hatchell takes her women's team into the tournament as well. They've received an at-large bid, placed at number 4 in the Greensboro region after the tournament bracket was announced on Monday afternoon. And
come on, coach, give us some credit for helping to toughen up your team.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
52 degrees this morning, 7:07, an almost unbelievable forecast. We're going up into the low 80s today. Partly sunny, high in the low 80s, and then tonight it'll get all the way down to 35. A 50-degree swing within less than a 24-hour period. A clear sky tonight, much cooler, low in the middle 30s. Seriously, wind gust up to 25 miles per hour as well. And then tomorrow, kind of a normal day, mostly sunny, much cooler with a high in the upper 50s. Residents of Gateway Village have been voicing frustrations over delays in getting their utility subsidies. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But first, here live in our studios, Lee Storo, Chapel Hill Town Council member, is here. And Lee has a special announcement. Lee, what do you have to tell us today?
Well, Ron, thanks for having me on the air this morning. It's great to be with you and your viewers. I'm officially making the announcement that I am going to be running for re-election to a second term to the Chapel Hill Town Council this fall.
There you go, a WCHL exclusive. Lee, I kind of guessed what you were going to say. You're not really surprising me by this, but thanks for coming here to make your announcement. And let me ask you this. Why have you decided to run again?
Well, you know, I have been serving for the last 4 years and was elected in 2011. And one of the things I focused on doing over the last 4 years was being a coalition builder, bringing folks together to solve our common problems here in Chapel Hill. I'm really proud of the accomplishments and the things I've done over the last 4 years, but I've also realized that there's more work that needs to be done. From some issues that I care a lot about, like getting sewer infrastructure put in place into the Rogers Road community, to some new issues I've been able to tackle over the last 4 years, like expanding economic development opportunities and visitor promotion for Orange County and Chapel Hill. I know there's still more work to be done, and I think I can get those things done if I serve a second term on the town council.
What are you most proud of during your first term, let's call it the first term, on the council?
When I went to the ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Rogers Road Community Center, I think it was one of the most powerful moments I've had over the last 4 years. When I was a student at UNC, I volunteered in the neighborhood, helped tutor some students, and got involved in the work that the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association was doing. And it was just such a powerful, really positive community in our neighborhood. As you and a lot of folks know across town, that neighborhood bore the brunt of the landfill for Orange County for decades. And one of the promises that this community and leadership across the town and county made was that we would build a community center and we would build sewer infrastructure for that neighborhood. And that promise was made decades ago. And we finally were able to make that happen just really several months ago. That took partnerships and relationships with the town of Carborough, with neighbors, with Orange County commissioners. I served on the task force, the Historic Rogers Road Task Force, that helped put those recommendations in place and helped find the funding mechanisms to get that community center built. So being there and to have a moment that everyone across Orange County could come together and think about what we can achieve, what the power that local government has, was really meaningful. That work, though, isn't done. We made a commitment on the task force, and we made a commitment decades ago that we'd put sewer infrastructure in place. And I believe that in the next 4 years, we can get that sewer infrastructure put in place to make sure that we're following through on our promise and ensuring for the sanitation, health, and well-being of all our residents in Orange County.
I know that you take great pride in listening to what your constituents have to say. What have you learned about the Chapel Hill community and the folks that you serve during the past 4 years?
You know, I think one an expectation that folks have in Orange County is that local leaders will work together and that we'll try to cross lines, whether it's lines at UNC, lines across intergovernmental boards with the Carborough Board of Aldermen or our county commissioners. I've held several open office hours, actually right across the street at the coffee shop in Timberline, with Mia Burrows, who transitioned over the last 4 years from a school board member to a county commissioner. Mm-hmm. And I remember Miriam Thompson, a esteemed community member who's just been involved with social justice work for a long time, talking about how important it was that we as local leaders build relationships with each other and work together and are willing to do the hard work to get things done outside of council meetings and to talk and collaborate with our colleagues. Because the reality is things that happen on the school board and ensuring that we maintain a quality public school system has a big impact on the quality of life and the type of town that we want to be in Chapel Hill. And if we're not collaborating and working with our colleagues on the school board or the Board of Aldermen or the county commission, then we're not really doing our job right.
Finally, with the election coming up, Lee Storrow has made the announcement that he will be running for re-election to the Chapel Hill Town Council. It's a budget year, a lot of talk focused on that. Any thoughts on our budgeting process coming up and how that might affect your campaign?
I'm actually really I'm really excited about the discussions we're having about a bond referendum, which, while independent somewhat from the budget process, it's all obviously still connected. You know, we have the opportunity through this process to do some amazing, substantial things for capital needs that we have here in Chapel Hill. I get really jazzed and excited about thinking about the power that government has to invest in the public good. And so when we think about building a new cultural center, when we think about building a new police station, new fire station, new greenways, new sidewalks, you know, that type of investment in shape and community making and in creating place and creating places that allow residents to connect with each other, whether those are physical, actual physical connections that people move faster, or emotional ones, I think is really, really exciting. And I'm excited about this conversation that we're going to have about what our priorities are for a bond referendum and the community conversation that we can have about what does it really mean to invest in those important infrastructure capacity and infrastructure pieces for the town.
Well, it's going to be an interesting year. There's no question about that. And thanks for coming in and talking with us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. I know thank you to WCHL for what you and the whole station does to make our community a better place.
I appreciate that. Lee Storrow, a member of the Chapel Hill Town Council member, wants to do it again. So, Lee, thanks for coming in this morning and making that announcement.
Thanks so much.
It is 7:14 at WCHL. As I mentioned a moment ago, residents at Gateway Village have been voicing their frustrations over delays in getting their utility subsidies. WCHL's Blake Hodge has the story.
Gateway Village is a publicly supported Section 8 development in Hillsboro, and residents at the apartments voiced concern to WCHL last Friday that they had not received their utility subsidy checks, even as their bills came due or were even past due. Michael Harley is a resident at Gateway Village.
Property managers said have not gave an indication of why the checks were late. Gateway management and it's falling behind, not showing too much regard in manner of the residents and their interests by getting the funds out of themselves so they don't have to pay late fees and they can meet the bills and take care of their needs or whatever it may be.
The Housing and Urban Development Handbook puts forward requirements of property owners in these situations. And Jeffrey Green is the Executive Director of Residents Service Programs at Preservation Management, who owns Gateway Village. Green says that they complied with all regulations.
The requirement is that the utility subsidy payments are to be provided to residents within 5 business days after we receive those payments from the federal government, and that was done in this case.
Now, the conflict seems to be in the fact that residents didn't know that the checks would be delayed this month. These payments are typically received by the property owner by the third day of each month and then turned into the hands of the residents by the eighth day of the month. But in March, residents didn't receive their checks until the 14th, which was on Saturday. Green says that the delay must have stemmed from the federal government sending checks out to property owners.
It must have been a slight delay and for whatever reason. But what I confirmed with our people here was that the payments were made within 5 days of when funds were received here.
Residents of Gateway Village say that it is not the fact that the checks were late that's so bothersome. They say that they were given no warning that the checks would be late so that they would have been able to plan for the delay and make other arrangements to continue making their payments on time.
That's a fair point and probably something that we could do better, and we're actually having that discussion.
Harley did have one request for the management of Gateway Village.
We hope that the issues that we have will be dealt with and we'll be respected. That's that simple.
Now, Green told WCHL that the discussion over how to alert residents that their checks would be delayed was being held on Monday afternoon. And he also said that he would follow up with WCHL as to the result of that discussion. As of 5 o'clock Monday evening, we had received no update. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:17. Time now for traffic and weather together. And traffic is brought to you this morning by Landscape Logic. Here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. 54 eastbound is starting to pick up as you approach 40 from Fordham Boulevard. 40 eastbound also still in pretty good shape. No problems as you make your way towards RTP so far from 15501 to the Durham Freeway. If you happen to see anything while you're out, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363 or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Nikki, are you overwhelmed or unsure about where to start with your landscaping?
A little, yes.
Call the pros at Landscape Logic now, scheduling spring cleanup, mulching, and weekly maintenance programs. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs. Online at landscapelogicnc.com. It's just that easy.
Makes sense.
All right, we'll talk to you again in just a few minutes here. And time now for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather. And it looks like this, 52 degrees. This is an unbelievable forecast today. 52 degrees right now. We're going to warm up to the low 80s today. And then tonight, it's going to turn cold with a low down around 35. So that's a swing of 50 degrees in just a few hours. It'll be clear and obviously cooler tonight. Windy as well. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly sunny and kind of normal, much cooler with a high in the upper 50s, but it's just an amazing swing happening between now and tonight. And now a quick word from Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. Fuel up each morning with Cruiser's Fresh Brewed Beans Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and Hot Chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great. At Cruiser's, good to go. All right. Turning now to more news on WCHL. Community leaders in Pittsburgh are rallying together to help out a family after they suffered a major loss in early March. Melody Bailey is head custodian at North Chatham Elementary School. And on Tuesday, March 3rd, her house burned down. Rex Willoughby owns and operates McDonald's in the area and says that this really hit home when he heard about the news.
Melody, she's the head custodian there. She's one of those polite people that every time you pass her in the hallway when you're dropping kids off in the morning, I have two kids that attend that school, but every time you pass by, she's always one to smile and speak, say hello.
Willoughby says he knew he had to do something when he was reading the notice about the incident from the school.
It kind of struck my wife and I. She was reading the email to me and just kind of struck both of us that we felt like we needed to do something to help them out.
So tonight, if you're traveling through Pittsburgh, or if you live in the area, stop at McDonald's and help out the cause to help a family in need.
From 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., we're going to donate 50% of all sales straight to Miss Bailey. We're just going to cut a check there at 8 o'clock or shortly after 8 o'clock for exactly half of sales. 36 Lowe's Drive, it's right in front of the Lowe's there in Pittsburgh, right off the bypass of 64. It's about a quarter of a mile or half a mile from Northwood High School.
Willoughby adds that if you want to donate more than that, they'll also have donation boxes to collect funds for Bailey and her family. And if you're not in the area but would like to help, a GoFundMe page has been set up to help raise funds as well. Big doings tonight happening in Carborough. It is bike-friendly community. This evening, the town will celebrate a bicycle-friendly community designation from the League of American Bicyclists with, you guessed it, a community bike ride. It all starts at 5:45 p.m., followed by light refreshments at Town Hall. the Silver Award Celebration featuring Mayor Lily Lavelle and Heidi Perry of the Carborough Bike Coalition will take place there from 6:30 until 7:30. The town will get the Silver Award plaque at the Board of Aldermen meeting starting at 7:30. Carborough is one of only 64 cities or towns nationwide and the only North Carolina community to be recognized by the League of American Bicyclists at the silver level. UNC settled the lawsuit with learning specialist Mary Willingham for $335,000. WCHL has confirmed that figure was first reported by the News and Observer. The lawsuit settlement was reached in late February. Rick White, UNC Associate Vice Chancellor for Communications and Public Affairs, provided a statement upon reaching the settlement. And quoting here, the university settlement with Ms. Willingham resolves all of the outstanding legal issues in the case. We appreciate the efforts of the mediator to help us achieve a successful and timely conclusion to the mediation. We believe the settlement is in the best interest of the university and allows us to move forward and fully focus on other important issues. The settlement is pending final action to dismiss the case by Judge Boyle. So, the Mary Willingham case has been settled, and there you go. 7:22 and WCHL. More details in that story sure to come. WCHL. Now, turning to WCHL Championship Sports, not only is Selection Sunday drawing a lot of attention to everybody when it comes to men's basketball, but women's basketball is pretty exciting this time of the year, too, and the Carolina women have also gotten a number one or a number four seed. And the amazing thing is that Sylvia Atchell's team has gotten a very fortunate designation and an opportunity to play at home. Walter Storholt, who is the play-by-play voice for the Tar Heel women, is here now. And, Walter, tell everybody where Carolina's going to be playing.
Well, North Carolina will be playing right here in Chapel Hill, Ron. That's the exciting part for North Carolina. They will host the first two rounds. UNC was kind of right on that bubble in terms of being a hosting team. And they ended up getting the four seed. Getting one of those top 16 seeds allows them to host the first two rounds. They'll be facing off against Liberty in that first game, and then the other two teams that'll be in Chapel Hill this weekend will be Ohio State and James Madison, both of those teams playing North Carolina 2 years ago, so all familiar faces coming to Chapel Hill. And then the even better part is in the third and fourth rounds, when Carolina advances that far, will only be an hour down the road in a familiar place in Greensboro. So it's the best route that North Carolina could certainly hope for to try and get to the Final Four this year.
Well, the Tar Heels play on Saturday at 11 o'clock against 13th-seeded Liberty, and then they win that game. They won't play again until the following Saturday, right?
No, then they would play on Monday night.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Monday night they would play Ohio State or James Madison, face off against one of those two teams. And interestingly, when they played those two teams 2 years ago, both games were three-point contests, as Carolina beat Ohio State by a score, well, it was by 3 points, and then they beat James Madison by 3 points. I had the scores in front of me earlier, but not now. But either way, three-point games in both of those. So will be interesting to see that game play out. But Liberty is no easy team. They went 19-1 this season in their conference and just came off the Big South Conference Tournament Championship. They're a team that has a couple of really good players on it. They rebound the ball well. They outscore their opponents a lot. I think where Carolina can exploit Liberty is the fact that they don't take care of the basketball as well as most teams. They actually commit more turnovers than they can create. And North Carolina, of course, is a team that loves buckling down on defense, creating turnovers, and turning that into points at the other end. I think Carolina's athleticism and speed ultimately wins out in this game. But Liberty does have a little bit of height, which might give Carolina at least a little bit of trouble come Saturday morning.
Now, if folks have not been out to see the Carolina women play, this is a wonderful opportunity. Coach Hatchell said last night on her show, what else are you going to be doing on Saturday morning?
Yeah, it's a great time. Wake up, pregame with some omelets and scrambled eggs, throw a little bacon on there, and come on out and enjoy the Tar Heels.
But for the people who haven't seen them play, I guess when you describe this team, and we have about a minute here, when you describe this team, it all has to start with Alicia Gray and Stephanie Mavunga. Tell everybody about those players.
Well, it's the speed with Alicia Gray. I mean, just gets up and down the court so quickly, as do several other Tar Heels. Latifah Coleman, of course. course, and Danielle Butts, just incredible athleticism, and they play extremely, extremely quick. The big thing this year is that in most games, they have turned that quickness under control. So they're not only playing with speed now, but they are controlling the basketball and turning it over less than they have in past years as well. And I think they're also playing good basketball at the right time, playing really tough teams like Duke and Louisville really close over the last couple of weeks, just within a few points of some really big wins there. And then Stephanie Mavunga down underneath has had such a load put on her shoulders this year with Zelina McDaniel, kind of the other big post player for the Tar Heels, going down with that injury right before ACC play. So Mavunga's really had to carry this team through games because she at times has been the lone producer underneath the basket for the Tar Heels. But kind of the X factor has emerged as India Bryant and Jessica Washington, too. Both of them have started to put up a few double-digit games here and there for the Tar Heels. And when they get hot, Carolina looks unstoppable. So if those two can keep up the momentum as well and provide a little bit of a lift to Stephanie Mavunga and Alicia Gray, not allowing them to have to carry the team on their shoulders, Carolina can be a very, very dangerous team all throughout March. And the way the bracket lines up, it's going to be a really exciting next couple of weeks for them.
Well, again, Carolina will play Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in Carmichael Arena, of all spots. And if they win two games here in Chapel Hill, then they get to play in Greensboro.
Exactly. And that possible opponent would be South Carolina's number one seed in the bracket. And that would be Carolina beat South Carolina twice last year, including once in the NCAA tournament out in Stanford. So that would be a really fun rematch to see. And if they can get through the potential matchup with South Carolina, it could be Florida State, a team that North Carolina beat earlier this season. They're the two seed in the bracket. That could be the Elite Eight matchup between the two squads. And even if they make it to the Final Four, the team they might face there, Ron, would be the number one seed in the upper portion of their side of the bracket out of Oklahoma City, Notre Dame, who North Carolina has played a couple of times this year, obviously, and would love another crack at the Irish.
Wow. Well, the scenario is set, and let's see if the Tar Heels can come through. And Walter, thanks for being with us, and we'll have that game, of course, for you on Saturday, and we'll be talking about it a lot between now and then.
Exciting time of the year. Thanks, Ron.
It really is. WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by AT&T Wireless.
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK. Falls into a deep fryer? That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket? Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso? No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal? Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower? No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a no.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for watering shock resistance, submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes, rinse residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Taxes, other charges, and restrictions apply.
And now brought to you by the Vapor Girl, Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Come on, coach. Give us some credit for helping to toughen up your team. This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. I love Roy Williams. Wouldn't have any other coach to root for. He's jacket-throwing, passionate, dumb as the slyest fox, and funny as all get-out, that dadgum old Roy. I just wish he would give himself credit for motivating his team rather than calling out the fans and the media. Yes, you heard me, just as I heard him get on the critics who have called the Tar Heels too soft this season, those who have pointed out that they have lost leads, failed to finish off opponents at the end of sure victories, and started some games like they thought tip-off was really an hour later. I've heard old Roy himself, just as you have, talk about how Carolina wasn't tough enough to complete the comeback that had NC State on the ropes at home. Heard him criticize Kennedy Meeks for pump-faking seven times and then going up with the softest shot in the history of basketball. And just this week, say his team has shot fewer total free throws than the opponent for only the third time in his coaching career because it still isn't very good at attacking the basket. But instead of fans passing around his own words and the media agreeing that indeed this team wasn't tough enough, old Roy seemed to say we were making all that stuff up after the Tar Heels truly did turn a corner onto the tough side of town ACC tournament. They dispatched bothersome BC, rallied to beat those louts from Louisville, and gave Virginia some of its own defensive medicine, which, by the way, the Cavaliers
operators didn't like at all. And try as they might, they simply ran out of gas when they ran into torrid shooting by Notre Dame. But the end result was that Williams will take a battle-tested team into the NCAA tournament that is a lot tougher than the one we saw last November. Old Roy said, some people say we're soft and not very tough. Well, I think we proved them wrong this weekend, or something like that after the Notre Dame game. No, coach, people proved you right, that your team needed to get a lot tougher to win big games, as it did in Greensboro. There was better defense played consistently than in the past, rallies they completed and others they snuffed out, and a lot more heart left on the Coliseum court than on some other playing floors the last 4 months. You were asking for it, coach, and so were we. Let's all share in the excitement heading into the big dance and go Heels. This is our chance. See ya.
Have you heard? According to a new study, men who spent less than $2,000 on an engagement ring were more likely to have a successful marriage. At Chatelaine's, we take pride in our beautiful estate pieces and in the wholesale prices we put on them. Not into estate and vintage jewelry? We offer competitive rates on new and trending jewelry as well. Though going deep into debt may seem like a grand gesture, spending wisely without compromising quality is an expression of your commitment to her and your future together. Shop Chatelaine's, located in Carver's Historic Carmel.
Are you or a loved one living with a chronic condition such as heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, asthma, or depression? UNC Family Medicine's Healthy Living Classes are for you. Living Healthy is a free 6-week workshop to help you understand and manage your symptoms, including learning how to manage your medication and tips and support for healthy eating and exercise. Join us. Learn and take control for more healthy living. For more information, call 962-4971. UNC Family Medicine, caring for the course of your life.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn. It is 53 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny, high today in the low 80s. Oh boy, it's going to be warm today. Then tonight, mostly clear, much cooler with a low down in the middle 30s. I just can't get over this forecast. 50-degree swing. It's going to be windy as well tonight. Wind gust up to 25 miles per hour. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, much cooler with a high in the upper 50s. You'll figure. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
97.9 FM WCHL is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelborough.com. There's an app for that.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
733, 53 degrees in Chapel Hill, and again, a hot one on the way today. High temperature today in the low 80s. Carborough aldermen will be busy tonight. They'll vote on an extension for the Shelton Station project when the board meets tonight. And this has been the topic of a lot of conversation in Carborough as of late. Shelton Station is a mixed-use project planned for North Greensboro Street. It was originally approved in 2013, but is still awaiting final site plan approval. Developers say they hope to break ground this spring, but are asking for a one-year extension of the conditional use permit just in case they don't meet that deadline. Aldermen will also hear recommendations from the Solid Waste Advisory Group on potential new fees for recycling and garbage disposal. The board will meet tonight at 7:30 at Carborough Town Hall. That's all those after all those special festivities with Carborough being named a bicycle-friendly community. Orange County commissioners will talk solid waste and long-term spending when the board meets tonight. The board will discuss the 5-year capital investment plan, which includes a $21 million jail, half a dozen new EMS substations, and funding for a new Southern Branch library. They'll also consider recommendations from the Solid Waste Advisory Group on how the towns, county, and the university should collaborate on recycling and garbage disposal services. The group suggests levying a per-household fee ranging from $94 to $118 each year to fully fully fund solid waste operations. The board will meet tonight at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center in Chapel Hill. And rules governing the hydraulic fracturing method for drilling natural gas are expected to take effect today. A set of 120 fracking rules was developed by the State Mining and Energy Commission over nearly 2 years and approved in December by a separate state panel. With the fracking rules in place, companies interested in finding natural gas can start applying for fracking permits. A member of the Mining and Energy Commission, James Womack, says a company interested in fracking would first have to acquire the mineral rights for several hundred acres to create what's known as a drilling unit. Womack said he believes that at least some drilling will begin in North Carolina by the end of this year, though he cautioned that a driller could hit a snag at various points in the process. Former Carolina baseball teammates are joining forces once again to fight childhood cancer. Former Tar Heel catcher Chase Jones tells WCHL's Blake Hodge that the fight against childhood cancer is personal for him.
As a baseball player at the University of North Carolina, my freshman year of school, I was diagnosed with brain cancer and saw the firsthand reality of what childhood cancer was treated right there on campus at the NC Children's Hospital, and quickly realized not only how bad childhood cancer was, but also we had to do something to combat it. And so we, as a baseball team, began to shave heads to raise funds and learn that we had a platform as student-athletes to do something. That translated to, after graduation, realizing that this couldn't just be contained to just Chapel Hill, but this could work actually all over the country. So now we work with hundreds of teams across the country, ranging from youth league sports to high schools to minor league baseball and everywhere in between, all funding childhood cancer efforts nationwide.
I remember that Carolina baseball team that all shaved their heads in solidarity trying to spread the message there against childhood cancer. And one of your teammates on that team, now third baseman for the Seattle Mariners, Kyle Seager, you've teamed up once again in this battle. How does Kyle play into this?
So Kyle was a longtime teammate, obviously, and a very close friend, and one of the first people to really come and visit me when I was diagnosed. And we've got a lot of great stories from whatever reason of during my treatment and him being really by my side for a lot of it. And as he's progressed through the Mariners organization and really now in the big leagues, he and his wife Julie have been wanting to do something to get back. We collaborated this spring on a pretty cool concept where people can actually pledge per hit that he has this year, and all the proceeds are benefiting versus cancer. And so along with each pledge, there's particular levels of giving where if you pledge 50 cents, you get a T-shirt from us. If you pledge $1, you get a signed ball. And the big level, if you pledge $5 per hit that he has this season, the Seagers are actually donating a suite at a Mariners game close to September. So it's just a really cool way to not only be a big fan of Kyle and Julie Seager for what they're doing, but also embrace the idea that we can help children with cancer if it's just using a statistic in the game of baseball to do so.
How is that money going to be used? How is that going to be routed through actually getting into research or helping in any way that it can?
Yeah, so we're sticking with our model of every dollar that we give, half of the proceeds go to National Childhood Cancer Research, and the other half goes back to a local children's hospital. So in this case, with Kyle and Julie being in Seattle, we're actually funding projects within Seattle Children's Hospital. So it's going to be pretty cool. I mean, we're funding every aspect of how a child goes through cancer, from the moment they step into a hospital to the actual drugs they receive on the back end, knowing that we're going to help them beat this thing.
How can we just give if we wanted to just help out? Can we just give the credit card information over and donate that way as well?
Absolutely, yeah. You can definitely just donate to the campaign for sure, which a lot of people do. I think everybody identifies that this is pretty cool, but honestly, you can pledge anywhere from 10 cents up. So it's kind of interesting. We're all becoming Seager fans this year. Hopefully a lot of more Mariners fans here in Chapel Hill.
Ackley out there too, right?
Ackley is out there too, yeah. And Brian Rand's in AAA with the Mariners. So there's a lot of faces that are right there.
All right, Ed. How can we donate then?
The website is just SeagerVersusCancer.org. So Seager, S-E-A-G-E-R-V-S, cancer.org. And it'll route right to the website. And you can see right on there, you can pledge or donate right online.
Is there a stated goal with this in terms of funding, and where do we stand with
that? Yeah, we actually just had to up it. So our original goal was $30,000 to be raised and pledged, and we passed that this morning in just 2 weeks. So we didn't really want to up it, but we figured we got all season long, so we might as well set the goal high. So our new goal is $50,000. And the good thing about this, too, is that Kyle and Julie are matching the first 100 people to pledge. So they are in this as much as the next person, where they're actively trying to fight this thing. So they matched the first 100 people to pledge, which we just passed that number. So pretty cool.
The dedication there from a car outside of a parking lot of a Harris Teeter in Burlington.
Yeah,
Chase
exactly.
Jones.
Exactly.
That is Chase Jones. And speaking with WCHL's Blake Hodge, by the way, you can find a link to donate to the cause on our website, chapelbro.com. It's 7:40. I'm Ron Stutz. Nikki Morse joins me now in the studio. And today, of course, St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
Same to you.
You know, I was just thinking this morning, we got this NCAA thing has really got me excited, the NCAA brackets. I haven't filled out any brackets yet. I'm planning on doing it, but I guess I got to hurry, don't I?
Yeah.
But,
I've already got my invitations to fill out all these forms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, do I have enough time in my day?
I usually try and do it because it's fun, but think about this. There's three teams in the triangle. We're talking about men's basketball now.
Mm-hmm.
As three men's teams in the triangle hope to beat the odds and wind up winning the championship on Monday night 3 weeks from now. Almost exactly 3 weeks from now. What are the odds that you could predict correctly the outcomes of all the games in the tournament and fill out a perfect bracket?
What are the odds? I don't know.
Right, I'm asking you.
What are the odds? Am I a numbers person? Yeah.
USA Today says if you're holding out hope that this is the year you're going to break through and get that perfect bracket, you may want to wait a while, like maybe a few billion years. The odds of you filling out a perfect bracket this year are a staggering 1 in 9.2 quintillion.
Really?
That's a 9 with 18 zeros.
That is crazy. Well, I guess then your odds of winning the lottery would be better.
That is, oh yeah, much better. That's 1 billion, 9.2 billion times.
Oh, my gosh.
It's 500,000 times more than our $17 trillion national debt.
That's incredible.
You'd have a better chance of hitting four holes in one in a single round of golf. The 1 in 9.2 quintillion number is straight mathematics. It figures out how many possible ways the 63 game results in your bracket could be filled out. But it doesn't account for standard basketball logic like number one seeds always advancing in the first round or tournament champions usually having a top four seed or Duke's dual advantage of having a legend like Coach K and never getting called for blocking. It's always, you know, and getting all the calls. I'm just kidding about that, sort of. If you know something about the NCAA tournament and you've watched a lot of basketball, the odds are that a perfect bracket is more like 1 in 128 billion.
Wow.
It sounds much more attainable, doesn't it?
Oh yes. I think I could do that one.
Anyway, using all these numbers, if everybody in the United States filled out a bracket for the NCAA tournament, we'd see a perfect one every 400 years.
Well,
that just boggles my mind.
Yeah, that makes my head fold in half.
I just got to think that it could be, the odds wouldn't be that high if you had a certain amount of basketball knowledge, you know.
So, like, say I just happen to fill out my bracket perfectly.
Uh-huh.
What do I get?
I don't know. I mean, depends on whatever the...
Do you make it into the Guinness Book of World Records or what?
Maybe. I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know. But, you know, I have a hard time believing it would be that high. You know, I mean, it's just... I really do. I mean, there are only, you know, 64 teams. Come on.
So, well, sit and do the math when you have some time.
No, thank you.
Figure it out.
I don't believe I will. Thank you.
Oh, we got an infiltrator.
Blake Hodge. What?
Well, I was listening back in the studio to the riveting conversation. And
thank you. Thank you very much.
You were asking, what do you get? Last year, actually, Warren Buffett started, he was giving away $1 billion to anybody that filled out an actual perfect bracket.
Really?
He's not doing that anymore. He decided 1 year was enough to risk that. But last year it was the billion-dollar bracket challenge, and there were several huge corporate sponsors and everything to go in this. But they had it out there that if you filled out a perfect bracket, they'd give away $1 billion.
Wow.
So
insane.
If you would have done it last year.
Oh, man, now you tell me.
We wouldn't get to talk to you now every day.
No, you wouldn't. I wanted to get that straight right now.
Well, Blake...
I think this year maybe you should take up the slack since Warren's not doing it anymore. Maybe you should jump in there and do that.
We can pass a hat around the station later on, see where we end up, I guess.
I don't think that'll help.
For $10.
That's probably about all we could raise in this room right now.
Well, between you guys, because I don't carry cash.
Well, I think I have about 20 cents in my pocket.
Oh, okay.
I think we're at
for
20 cents.
20
then.
Cents.
That's, wow. That's incentive enough for everybody to get involved.
Yeah.
What is happening today at chapelboro.com?
Well, if you're interested in getting book for springtime reading, D.G. Martin's got 4 good North Carolina books for the spring. So take in his 4 suggestions. Maybe you'll find something interesting to read. Also, Arts Angle, who's got a game of runs. He's talking about the ACC Tournament Championship, of course, between UNC and Notre Dame. Yeah. What's that other team? The one that won?
The Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
Well, it was only 2 days ahead of, or 3 days ahead of St. Patrick's Day, so they had an advantage.
I bet they did. They had a leprechaun at some sort of little gold pot of gold or something like
they
that.
They had the luck of the Irish on their side.
Absolutely.
No, seriously, they're really good.
They were very good, actually. Yeah. Susan Murray went to Bids and Brews. The Children's Cooperative Play School held their annual Bids and Brews fundraiser. They had some great items up for bids. So take on those pictures when you get a chance. Mm-hmm. Chapelboro.com for that and more.
Now with Instantly Live Streaming and an app for that, Matt Bailey says, if you don't like it, don't live in it. That's today's commentary, and that's up next on WCHL. It's 7:46.
Where can kids like me go to learn new skills, make friends, and have fun?
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the community's largest gymnastics facility, offering tumbling, trampoline, summer camps, birthday parties, gymnastics classes for boys and girls ages 1 year and up, and more. The structured classes and energetic atmosphere motivate gymnasts to achieve personal goals in the sport of gymnastics. Call 919-942-3655 or visit chapelhillgymnastics.com.
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the fun place to learn and grow.
Can you slam dunk? Do you wish you could slam dunk? I'm 6'2", and on my best day, I couldn't even come close. But if you're like most guys, yes, you wish you could slam dunk. But you're too short, not enough spring in the legs, and you just can't slam dunk. Or can you? I'm Berkeley Grimble of Grimble Jewelers. And guys, I'm here to tell you that you can slam dunk, and you don't even have to jump. You just have to come into Grimble Jewelers. We'll help you pick a gift for your lady that sparkles. Something that's gold or silver, something that twinkles, a diamond, a ruby, a sapphire. And we put it in a little jewelry box and wrap it up just the way she likes. Then you head home. You hand that little box to her. You tell her, a little surprise, honey, just because I love you. You'll feel yourself start to lift off the ground, and when she sees what's inside, brother, that's a slam dunk of a gift, and you can't even touch rim. Grimble Jewelers, you want a slam dunk? Get in here. You're going to feel like you're 3 feet off the ground.
Hey, Leonardo da Vinci, the Mona Lisa, she's a great success. But how did you get her to smile like that?
Oh, Michelangelo, it's obvious. I sent her to the Bredmans.
Bredmans on Rosemary Street?
Sure, they've got the great food with breakfast all day and low prices. You can't go in there and not come out smiling.
Guess I better head to Bredmans today.
Today?
Yeah, they got me painting this ceiling for the next 4 years.
Oh, bummer.
Bredman's Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
What? You think we only like a pizza?
53 degrees, 7:48.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Matt Bailey. The construction fences are going up where the old movie theater once stood as work begins on Village Plaza Apartments in the new Ephesus Fordham District. Before we all start having to look a little harder for a parking space at Whole Foods, though, let's clear up some lingering myths about Ephesus Fordham. Myth 1. These new buildings will make your house flood. Fact. Ephesus Fordham enacts some of the strictest stormwater management standards in all of Chapel Hill. There were virtually no stormwater standards when we paved over the area for parking lots decades ago. When it rains, the water that leaves Village Plaza Apartments will flow much slower and contain far fewer pollutants than it does today on that site. Myth 2. Our schools will be flooded with new students that will cost us too much money. Fact. Opponents of Greenbridge and 140 West said the exact same thing. Do you know how many school kids those places added? Greenbridge, 2. 140 West, 1. I've met her, by the way. She's a nice kid. Village Plaza Apartments will, however, provide the kind of homes many young professionals want, along with tax-paying stores and restaurants. Myth 3. The changes in Ephesus Fordham are bad for the environment.
Really?
What environmental awards are all those parking lots winning us today? The fact is, walking is better for the environment than driving, and if you want an area to be walkable, stuff has to be close enough together to walk to it. Myth 4. The building will be ugly. Well, now that's an opinion we can debate about. Personally, I don't think Village Plaza Apartments will be the most gorgeous building in town, but the real question is, will Village Plaza Apartments serve us better than the vacant lot that's been sitting there for over a decade?
I'd say, yes.
But if you still think Village Plaza Apartments is such an eyesore that you just can't bear to look at it, here's a suggestion. Don't live in it. This is Matt Bailey.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It is time now for traffic and weather together, and traffic is brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn. Here's Nikki Morse.
Northbound Fordham Boulevard experiencing some crowded conditions now as you make your way towards Manning Drive. Northbound Durham Freeway also starting to fill up. Expect some crowded conditions between Alexander Drive and Austin Avenue, and 40 eastbound heavily traveled with some full lanes between 751 and Highway 55. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
You can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by Executive Chef James Clark and his talented culinary team at Carolina Crossroads Restaurant at the Carolina Inn. It's a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Now, turning to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, it looks like this. All right, it's 53 degrees, partly sunny today. Look, high today in the low 80s. Now, tonight, it'll get down to 35. Still unbelievable. Mostly clear skies tonight and windy as well. Low 35 again. And tomorrow, mostly sunny, much cooler with a high in the upper 50s. So kind of back to normal tomorrow. But a heat wave today and then a chill in the air tonight. It's crazy. This forecast has been brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Berkeley Grimble is the guy to see at Grimble Jewelers. They're always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods. It is 7:51 at WCHL, and we've taken care of traffic and weather together, and you know what's next, ladies and gentlemen. It is the word of the day on WCHL with Dr. Wayne Pond. Dr. Pond, well, wait a minute. That's a joke music. That's not right. Cue the right thing. Come on. What's wrong with you over there?
I don't know. What's wrong with you?
Studio engineer fell asleep.
Yeah.
Not even paying attention to me. Wayne, how you doing, buddy?
Listen, just in enjoying the technical mania, as usual.
Well,
and really enjoying your conversation with Nikki and Blake about the oddsmakers. And what was it? Every 400 years, somebody would get it right.
So, oh, yeah.
It's my goal to get it right this year.
Well, I'll tell you, Nikki, with that as a context, I'm prepared to offer, let's see here, for the one winner in Chapel Hill who's got that perfect bracket, how about a gift certificate to Cruisers?
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
Go. Yeah.
No, that's over the top. Warren Buffett wouldn't stand for it.
I'll go for one of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, what kind of word you got for us today?
Here we go. Let's do an oldie and a goodie, shall we? An oldie and a goodie. The word of the day is troglodyte. Troglodyte.
Troglodyte.
T is in Tom. T-R-O-G-L-O-D-Y-T-E. T-R-O-G-L-O-D-Y-T-E. Wasn't there a rock group called the Troglodytes, Ron?
There was a song called the Troglodyte, and I'm trying to think of who it was. Hang on a second. I'll figure that out while you're talking, but tell us
probably
what it means.
Somebody like Benny Goodman or Glenn Miller, you know, one of those.
My favorites. Silence. Wow.
All right. Nikki, what is a troglodyte? I'll give you a hint. It will begin with it's a noun, and you fill in the blank after
the
that.
The Jimmy Castor Bunch.
All right.
That's right.
Good for you.
You're welcome.
He's been thinking really hard about this.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Troglodyte. I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I will.
Thank you.
Painful experience behind us here. Someone who is brutish, reactionary, or primitive. Number two definition, a cave dweller. That's a number three definition, an animal that lives underground. I prefer the first one, someone who is brutish, reactionary, or primitive.
I know some people like that.
A caveman.
A caveman, there you go. Was there a rock group called the Cavemen, Russ?
Probably, yeah.
Probably, way back there.
A will a bird, bird, bird.
Bird is a word.
Bird is a word. A will a bird, bird, bird.
All right, listen, you all continue with the, what did Blake call it? The riveting conversation.
Yeah, really, I know. He's so polite.
And hanging on every word.
We need
talk
Ruby.
The morning.
We need Ruby the Riveter in here.
Hey, Ruby and the Romantics. Ruby and the Romantics.
Oh, there you go. Our day will come.
There we go. Adios.
Wayne Fund with a word of the day on WCHL. Brought to you by Frankton Street Realty. Oh, why would you call anyone else?
I have no idea.
I didn't think you did. Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. Time now for the clean joke on WCHL. And here is Nikki Morse.
Three buddies die in a car crash, and they find themselves at the pearly gates. They are all asked, when you're in your casket and friends and family are mourning upon you, what would you like to hear them say about you? The first guy says, I'd like to hear them say that I was the greatest doctor of my time and a great family man. The second guy says, I'd like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and school teacher who made a huge difference in our children of tomorrow. The last guy replies, I would like to hear them say, look, he's moving!
I almost spit out my coffee. It's a good one. Thank you so much. 756 WCHL, good morning.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Kristen Rogers is a social worker at UNC Healthcare. She's been working with women who really needed help in the Horizons program.
The Horizons Residential Program is part of the actual University Department of the OBGYN, and we have two residential programs for women and their children who suffered with substance abuse issues. The women come and reside in our residential program for 12 months with their children, and we work with them on a variety of different issues, including their parenting, DBT, or other substance abuse issues.
Kristen Rogers is a very special person, and she's today's WCHL hometown hero. She says this can be rewarding work.
It's very stressful, but it is rewarding when you see the changes that occur in people's lives and how much better their lives become because of all the work they do themselves.
Kristen works with a variety of women.
I teach at least 2 to 3 groups every week with all the clients working on their job readiness skills. Some clients come in with no high school education at all, and some come in with college or postgraduate degree. Substance abuse is a disease that affects people of all ages, races, color, all of that. It affects all of us, and the people that I deal with and teach the classes to come to me with different skill sets, with different abilities, and different needs. And so I work with them on better preparation for themselves as they move forward to self-sufficiency and employment and education.
The Horizons program has some very definite goals.
Focus primarily on sobriety, handling the substance abuse issues. They also focus on teaching people about professionalism. Then it also works on their parenting and bringing the family unit back together in a healthy manner.
The bottom line is Kristen Rogers always wanted to help people.
I did. I actually grew up overseas with parents who were missionaries, and so I saw my parents doing that kind of work where they were helping people who were underserved and really needed assistance. And so that's always been a love of mine, to just see people go from a not so great place to getting it better and better and better. And so that's always been really high on my priority list, is to be of assistance to others.
Kristen Rogers was nominated by Mike Komovis for today's recognition. It's easy to see why Kristen is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
53 degrees in Chapel Hill, a very unusual forecast for today. Partly sunny, high today in the low 80s. You got that right, 80s. Tonight we're looking at mostly clear skies, windy, and much cooler with all the way down to 35. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, much cooler with a high only in the upper 50s. My goodness, weather has been brought to you by Town Hall Grill, home of the best half-pound burger in the Triangle. Town Hall Grill, located in Southern Village, the perfect place for a great meal. Don't forget, kids under 7 eat for free Monday through Friday from 5 until 7 p.m. It's 8 o'clock. Happy St. Patrick's Day from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Talk.